Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. And by the Lord's grace, I am blessed to look to him in the preaching and teaching ministry of the Word of God today. It is also my great blessing to meet with you via the airwaves of Radio ABC this blessed day the Lord has given us. Today's sermon is one that was preached at Living Hope Bible Church in Roselle, Illinois recently, and the text is from Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2, which read in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, "To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed." Friends, learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Let us pray. You are always the help and strength for your people, that you created us for yourself. We exist for you, and it is our great joy to bless you and honor you in the saving grace that Jesus has purchased for us in the shedding of his blood. Thank you that all that we need is in you, Lord. We praise you. We give you thanks for this day. Bless your precious truth that comes to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Jim and Kathy were challenged by that and went out in the mission field, and we've supported them ever since. I've been out there to Africa to see them in their element when they were there, and it was wonderful just to see Jim working in the fields and pouring out his heart for them. We've kind of grown old together, and that's been exciting. It's been tough, though. But I want you to enjoy what he has to say to us and be challenged by him. He is God's man for where God has taken him, and perhaps we could be God's men and women for where God has us. Thank you.
That guy, he got us going, and we're still going, by the Lord's grace, kind of, we're still going. No, just teasing. The Lord is so faithful. He's been so good to us. Cappy is not here today. She sends her love and greetings to you, though, to everyone, and she would like to be here. She's had some health issues recently, but she's doing just fine. She's doing very well. And so just have to send her greetings to you guys. Let me do you kind of an African wave here and a big hug to you guys today. And that's from me too. This has been a really interesting trip for me. It's kind of like a journey back to our beginning to come back to the church here in Roselle today. 21 years ago, we were members of the church. I know that many of you weren't here then, but it's kind of a blast from the past, for sure. This is really great. And I've just been enjoying, as the Lord's ministered to my heart this morning, thinking about people that we knew then, that we still know today, and how the Lord has knit us together in Christ for all of these years. Seems like a long time to me, 21 years. And how it is that we'll forever be together in the Lord. He is so awesome, isn't he? Just amazing. Truly amazing. Friends, my hope today is that you would be encouraged by the Spirit, that you would be comforted and strengthened by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in Psalm 46 our text, and our focal verses are the first two verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I'm going to preach a sermon that I preached via the radio in Kampala, Uganda, just about 2 or 3 months ago when a large, in fact, the biggest COVID-19 wave hit Uganda. We had heard about some of the troubles and some of the fears that our friends have as that happened. And I hope that this might be an encouragement to you today, because I know that we're all struggling. We have struggled in the last year and a half. We probably will continue to struggle in some ways. But I want to bring the truth from Psalm 46 that is able to bring comfort and help to us in our time of need. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your gracious words. Thank you for the nearness that we have to you, because Jesus is with us. And indeed, he is our refuge, our very present help in time of trouble. You're our strength, Lord. You're our hope. And you have become our salvation. You are the song of deliverance that our hearts sing out to you about. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you for such mercy and such grace. Please, Holy Spirit, come and minister the precious word of God to the hearts of God's people. And Lord, prepare us for all that's coming next. Help us in our distresses in life. And we cry out for your comforts and help. Blessed Comforter, dear Spirit of God, we thank you that you are working powerfully around the world to reveal Jesus in the hearts of your people. And so be with us today. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I got an email from a friend in Uganda just before the preaching of this sermon. And this is what the pastor wrote. Prayers are needed for Uganda. COVID-19 infections and deaths are going up. We are back in lockdown for 6 weeks again. Churches and schools are closed. Movements are restricted within districts. No one is allowed to travel beyond his home district or county. Some businesses are closed. We are again faced with very hard and difficult days. Many families are going to go hungry. This is terrible. Much prayers needed. And I could relate to my friend's email, because Cappy and I surely struggled since we landed in the Chicago area coming from Kampala, Uganda last March. COVID-19 had just hit. In fact, we were required to quarantine for 2 weeks when we came through O'Hare. And it was really kind of a shocking, difficult time for us. I'm sure it was for you too. And so we sought the Lord, we got his grace, but to be quite honest, it wasn't easy by any means. And so as time went on, we began to see on the television about the riots in Chicago. And once again, we were just kind of overcome, asking God, what is happening and how do we deal with these things? Time went on and we made, which for us was a big journey, to Florida. We shifted to Florida. We moved to Florida from Chicago. And we live now in missionary housing there, but we're still in transition. We really haven't fully or permanently landed yet. And so the COVID-19 roller coaster, our own personal distresses, my wife has had some health issues, have seemed many times to be really overwhelming. And because this was overwhelming for us, God led me to Psalm 46 and led me to seek him about the meaning of these precious verses and seek him for his comfort, grace, and strength. In the title, in the New King James Version of Psalm 46, we see that this is a song for Alamoth. And we believe that that's a word which means basically soprano or a woman's voice. It is also a psalm of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah are the descendants of the Kohathites. You might remember, I think it's in Numbers 16, that Korah was a rebel, and because of his rebellion against God and Moses, God destroyed Korah and his family. But in the marvelous mercy of God, some of his children survived in the great plan and providence of God and later became the singers in the temple, the Kohathites. Interesting that in the context, as Jerry mentioned, we see graphic pictures of calamity, great distresses. Interesting that the Lord's instruction by the Spirit is that women are to lead in the singing of this song in the temple as these great calamities are remembered and as we are taught by the Spirit about how to conduct ourselves, how to deal with our distresses in lives. Simply, verses 1 and 2, really the heart of the psalm, tell us that our hope and stay in these difficult days, as always, is only found in the Lord God, our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because God alone can be the refuge of his people. Our help, our hope is in God's strength, in his ability to strengthen us. And he declares by his Spirit that he is a very present help to us in our time of troubles. He is as near to us in Christ as is possible. Nothing is impossible for him. He can be absolutely intimate with us, and he promises present help in our times of trouble. Uganda has an animistic culture, and there the people believe that God is far off. He's a far off God. And the only way that you can really make contact with him is through a channel, through a mediator, and the mediator in the culture is the witch doctor. But even the witch doctor cannot approach God because he's so far off, he's so mighty, so powerful, so much greater than we are, so that the witch doctor needs help. He needs mediators, and the witch doctor's mediators are the demons that he summons, who communicate to God for him as he communicates for his customers. But the God of the Bible, the true and living God, is a God who is near us. He is not far off. He is a very present help in time of trouble. The great hymn by Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," is based upon this psalm. And you might remember some of the lyrics. Martin Luther says, "God is our refuge. God is our protector. He is our protection always." And that he is a bulwark. I didn't know what that word meant, so I looked it up and I found that its interesting meaning is that a bulwark is an earthwork, a defensive wall, a fortified rampart, a cover of earthwork that's used in war. And so the soldier would be behind the earthwork and there be safe from enemy fire. This would be a means of help to him. Martin Luther gloriously declares that God is our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Praise the Lord. And you know, we have seen that to be true in our lives, and I know you have too, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today that though we are hard pressed many times, and though the fiery trials seem like they will consume us, that nevertheless, God is our helper. God will not fail us. God will strengthen us. He will come to us. And so we hold fast to the Lord, our refuge, our strength, our present help in trouble, and we are anchored in the storms of life, in these often perplexing, confusing, and uncertain days. We have a good friend, a Christian lady. I call her Mom. My real mom went to be with the Lord many years ago, but Jerry is really a mom. She's almost 90 now.
to Cappy and I. We both call her mom. She just lost her daughter. And Jerry communicated to us just very recently that in this yet another distress, that it is God's sovereignty that's holding her together. Because she believes that God is sovereign. God is giving her grace. She's giving him glory. She's okay through this great loss of her daughter. My own sister's passing led to my mom's death, a premature death in some ways. She just never, even as a believer, quite got over Cindy's passing. And so I was so encouraged by what Mom Jerry said, that God is with her because God is truly, absolutely in control of all things. And because this is true, verse 2 tells us that we will not fear, even though the worst of calamities come upon us. We have before us in the next verses the picture of a great, great calamity, a gigantic and violent earthquake. The very ground shakes. We're from California. Kathy and I know a little bit about earthquakes, but the picture here is of a huge earthquake, so that the ground not only shakes, but it rolls and it swells. The psalmist declares that even though we find ourselves standing on rolling ground where there is absolutely no physical support for us, when things seem direst, that even then we will not fear. Though the earth is removed, the mountains are carried into the heart of the sea. Though the waters roar and are troubled, and the mountains shake with swelling, we find the word Selah there, pause. Probably a musical notation, perhaps a notation for the singers to pause at this point. Swelling and shaking and collapse of the very ground that we stand on into the tempestuous sea. Even then, praise the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, that is cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Such a great comfort to us that God knows about our capacities, our limitations, and that God will care for us in this way. No temptation has overtaken us except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, and He will not allow us to be tempted more than we are able to bear, but will make the way of escape that we may bear it. In our great trials, we must of necessity deal with our fear. We can use the word combat our fears, because this really is a combat, is it not? This is really a struggle. This is really a war. And we must combat our fears, even fear of the greatest possible calamity and distress. I sometimes wonder if I've experienced my greatest distress in life. I kind of don't think so. I don't know. But I kind of don't think so. And I, to be honest with you, it's a little scary for me to consider what that greatest distress might be. But I must deal with my fear, and I believe that we combat our fears on two fronts. That is, we must deal with our own personal fear, and we must deal also with the fears of others. And I think this COVID-19 thing has been such a great example worldwide of how it is that in times like this, a great issue in dealing with our fears, that we have to deal with the thoughts and fears of those around us. We can't just go this one alone. We must consider others, their fears, their condition also. And we do this, we deal with our fear, the feeling of anxiety. And we deal with it, though it may continue, honestly. The feeling of fear and anxiety may not end. But we deal with it as we do what is right, and we overcome fear as we fight it, defeat it, and prevail over it. Many of us have a good friend, Jack Imburgia. I just love Jack. Called him the other day. And Jack has shared with me, as he has with you, I'm sure, over the years, how it is that in combat, he was always afraid. Always terrified. I can't begin to imagine that. I was never a soldier. I was the son of a Marine, which is kind of close. But, of course, Jack shares with you about how God saw him through that, a time I can't begin to imagine, when he was in constant fear, not just fear, but terror, always, for a long, long time. And so though we may find ourselves in God's providence in situations even like this, in war, we are helped to compose ourselves as we remember and know that God cares for His people. Once again, He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my present help in trouble. And so I will not fear. I will overcome it. And I will overcome it, though I may not change how I feel, by doing what is right as I take courage. Courage can be defined as an attitude of facing and dealing with anything recognized as dangerous, difficult, or painful. Instead of withdrawing from it, as we must, we face it and we do the right thing. We do what is right in this situation. And so in these difficult days, when there is so much trouble, when there is so much suffering, when there is so much disease and fear, distress, and death, we must commit to do what God leads us to do what is right in the face of these very personal dangers in this great trial that the Lord in His wisdom has brought upon us. Praise God. Sometimes courage requires going against the desires and will and thoughts of others. I believe that Jesus and Paul are great examples of us in this. They often went against the grain, against the common understanding of the time, and they did that to do the right thing as God led them to do the right thing. Some of you see our communications and you've seen a meditation that we post called Reflections, just for fun, just because I took my glasses off. Now I can see you guys. Just for fun. How many of you have seen Reflections before? Oh, good. You have, some of you. Good, good. All right. Because I send them out there and they, you know, I think they disappear in email land, wherever it is out there in another universe, right? That's good. Well, I'm glad you're getting those. I'll have to be a little more careful to send you some good ones. But in the Reflections, I just love the Puritans, love their theology, love their encouragement, love their understanding of the Word, love that they lived in revival for much of their time. And Matthew Henry helps us to understand some things about fear, I believe. Let me share some of his ideas. When we are in fear of evil tiding, if we are depressed, if events are a sad issue, or the depending circumstances cause us to fear, and we begin to experience amazing, tormenting fear. Psalm 34, verse 4. As it was when Jacob, with good reason, was afraid of his brother Esau. And he waited on God and brought his fears to God and wrestled with God and prevailed for deliverance. What time I am afraid, said David, I will trust in you and wait on you, and that shall establish my heart, shall fix my heart, so that I shall set my heart above the fear of evil tidings. Are we in suspense between hope and fear? wondering. Sometimes one prevails, sometimes the other. Let us wait on God, to whom belong the issues of life and death, good and evil, from whom our judgment and every man's doth proceed, and compose ourselves into a quiet expectation of the event, whatever it may be, with a resolution, a resolve to accommodate ourselves to it. Hope for the best, get ready for the worst, and take whatever God gives us.
This sermon will be continued next Lord's Day, God willing.